This is Optimus Prime. You are watching fat guys at the movies. Why aren't they jogging?
And hello out there in movie land. You are watching or listening to Fat Guys at the Movies. And as you heard, Optimus Prime is going to be on our show. Well, the voice of Optimus Prime. I am Neil Miller.
And I'm Kevin Carr. I was wondering when you're going to let me introduce myself.
Well, you know, I was so excited about Optimus Prime.
Do you have a prayer this week?
No prayers. I just pray that Michael Bay makes like 6 more Transformers movies.
Okay.
Because 10 minutes into the movie, I wanted 6 more. But we're going to talk about that a little bit later. First, before we get into what's on this week's show, the bonus internet exclusive show, Kevin, where can people find us?
You can listen to us at fatguysatthemovies.com, which is probably where you are since this is the internet exclusive. You can dig us on dig.com, or you can listen to us through iTunes.
Big fan of iTunes.
Yeah, check us out. Write us a review. Tell us that we suck or whatever. I don't care. Just something.
Or if we kind of suck or kind of rock.
Kind of rock, I'm sure. If you want to email us and tell us how awesome we are, you can email fatguys@filmschoolrejects.com. You can also call us and leave us a nasty voicemail at 614-388-8735. That's 388-TREK.
Yeah, and speaking of calling us, we had an interesting thing coming up later in the show. We're going to have the guys, actually Josh Ratty from Strong Words, Inc., our big sister show.
Yes, and I have a feeling I'm not going to be in the room for that one. I'm going to have to go
we're gonna
private location.
Kevin to an undisclosed bunker. He's going to hang out with Dick Cheney, and we're going to do the segment.
It's going to be like if you watch the Newlywed Game or the whatever, like Family Feud, where they put you in that soundproof booth. That's pretty cool. I'm going.
Yeah.
So I'm not good enough.
We're going to do that. Josh is going to be on to talk about Sicko, Michael Moore's Sicko, and some other random topics. We're going to get the Strong Words, Inc. official summer movie excitement.
Cool. Golly gee, Neil, what's on today's show, though?
Yes, but what else is on today's show? We are going to do a little box office recap. We're going to talk about how Ratatouille cooked up a little domination at the box office. We're also going to talk about, I don't know, Bruce Willis.
Man, you just don't have any energy.
Yes.
My God, what is it? You're drinking your green tea and everything. You're just like, yeah, I think we're going to talk a little bit about Ratatouille.
Yeah, so we're gonna talk about the box office and Ratatouille, Live Free or Die Hard, and Sicko all opening this weekend. And we're going to recap our predictions. We're also going to talk about DVDs, the 3 or 4 DVD releases that came out this week or are coming out this week. And we're going to talk about Transformers. That's going to be
they're making a movie of Transformers.
Yeah,
I didn't know that.
A live-action Transformers movie.
I've heard nothing about Transformers.
Directed by Kevin's favorite director, Michael Bay.
He's a hack.
And executive producer by Steven Spielberg. So
Steven Spielberg's not a douchebag though.
And then of course we're going to give you a preview of our weekend show, the world famous weekend show.
Yes, it's world famous in Wyoming.
But a little disclaimer on this show, the internet exclusive bonus hour-ish. This is our unrated version, our parental discretion advised. So some of the language in this show is not appropriate for
anyone. Just don't listen to this.
Some of the opinions are not appropriate.
If you're offended on anything, don't listen to us.
Don't listen to our show. So in this show, we can say shit.
Pussy fart. Deuce and I, all that good stuff.
Or but
just get it out there on the table right now. Just get it out there. And Neil promises that he won't make jokes about beheading people this episode.
Right. But we are going to talk some sad news. Mm-hmm. Speaking of death.
Wow, you're just dragging. We get to pick it up, man. Do I need to bring in someone?
Well, this is kind of a somber
moment.
Some
5'2".
I want to be very reverent here. It was the other day, Joel Siegel, fellow film critic, passed away at age 63 from his battle with cancer.
I heard it was your fault.
It was not my fault. It was cancer's fault. So Joel Siegel, you will remember him as the guy with the mustache from Good Morning America on ABC.
Very punny guy.
Very punny guy.
I didn't even know he was sick. That shows how much I keep up with
I really kind of lost track of the fact that he was sick. I mean, you hear all the time, if you're in film critic circles, about Roger Ebert and how he's been very sick of late, but we didn't really hear a whole lot of Joel Siegel, and then it's kind of a shock. I know we reported on Film School Rejects the day it happened. So very sad. Our thoughts and prayers go out to his family.
We will refrain from making some punny
comment. Yes, we'll refrain from making some kind of offensive comment. Although, word to ABC, if you're looking for anyone to fill Joel Siegel's spot, I don't know if it's too soon or not. Fat Guys of the Movies would be a great, great slide in for Good Morning America.
We could, yes.
We'll make fun of everybody.
We won't say douchebag or pussy fart on ABC. We'll be clean. We promise.
Yes. ABC.
I said ABC.
Oh, okay.
Didn't I?
I said NBC.
Whatever. Anyways. Same difference.
So, that's really the biggest movie news of the week. RIP Mr. Siegel and your mustache. Moving on to a little box office recap.
I'm waiting for you to hang yourself on this
nope,
one.
Nope, not going to do it. Not going to do it.
So hey, who's
that? We'll run down.
Who's that cute girl on that?
I don't know. It's an advertisement on box office.
Oh, no wonder it's an advertisement.
Yeah, so.
I get caught on all those things. I'm like, wow, look, pretty girl.
Ooh, shiny objects. So I'm going to run down the top 10 this weekend, estimates at the box office, courtesy of our friends over at boxofficemojo.com. Well,
really not courtesy, we just steal it from
Well, that. It's free, it's on the internet, just like Michael Moore's movie.
Which isn't on the internet anymore.
Not, yeah, you're right. Anyways, so finishing in first this week, Ratatouille, which is, we both predicted Ratatouille to finish on top, pulling in $47 million. I think we predicted it a little bit. I was in like the 45 to 55
range. I think we're in the 50s, yeah, something like
so
that.
So it did well. I know a lot of people were, the studios were really, really hoping for like a $60 million release, but with the
tracking wasn't towards
really
that.
Tough.
Tracking wasn't towards that, and it's actually the last Pixar movie to do... have a lower opening weekend, I think, was like A Bug's Life or something like that.
Yeah, so very, very well. And I think this one will continue to do well probably until the end of the summer. I don't really see another family animated comedy, but another animated family movie coming out.
Is there any? I don't think there's anything. I mean,
well,
until
Simpsons.
Simpsons and,
but that's not family. That's not like a
it's not a
you
Disney movie.
You can't take
movie,
your kids
yeah.
to see The Simpsons.
I have to take my kids. They want to see The Simpsons.
But I think Ratatouille should do well over time.
They're actually expecting it to have a pretty good
to have
run.
A really good run.
I don't think it's going to have a big drop off.
Yep.
Because, of course, this week, you know, got Transformers and License to Wed.
There's
little kid movie.
With. Yep.
And that's good. It's going to ride all the way through 4th of July.
So, week. And. From an action front, Live Free or Die Hard, Bruce Willis bringing back John McClane, the predecessor to Jack Bauer.
Yes.
I keep telling people that, and nobody believes me. No. John McClane was Jack Bauer before Jack Bauer was Jack Bauer. Okay?
Yes.
So that made
Of course, John
million.
McClane doesn't torture the way Jack Bauer does.
He would, though, if he were
no,
in that
you know what? This is where if you had a fight between Jack Bauer and John McClane, I think Jack Bauer would win.
I don't know.
No, you know why?
Such a resourceful guy.
No, because McClane would start to say, it would be thinking of something witty to say, and Jack Bauer would just shoot him.
Okay. I don't really have much to say. I don't watch 24 a whole lot, so I really can't.
But you know what?
That.
The
I'm
news
just
was
take you at your word.
Live Free or Die Hard actually didn't have the drop off that they were expecting. It actually held relatively well through the weekend. You know, the fact that when you release a movie on a Wednesday, you usually get that drop off, and it obviously didn't take the weekend, but you know it did okay.
Yep, I agree. So it made $33 million. In third, Evan Almighty at $15 million.
Another big drop.
Hard drop. 1408 made $10 million, which is considerably good considering how some of the other horror film films.
Horror flims. Who are you? Jacques Cousteau, Inspector, Chief Inspector.
Fantastic Four down to $9 million, knocked up in the sixth position. Ocean's 13,
knocked
Pirates,
up didn't drop very far too. That's
knocked
another
up
big story.
Is not dropping very far at all. It's performing so well. It's great to see too. It's such a good movie. Pirates in the eighth spot. Sicko came in at ninth at $4.5 million, bringing its total gross to $4.6 million. It is rapidly attempting to chase down the $21 million that Bowling for Columbine made.
Yeah.
But see, it won't catch Fahrenheit 9/11.
There's no way.
No way.
There's no way.
It made, what, $91 million, the box office, something like that?
No, I think it... Did it crack $100 million?
It was real close.
I think it cracked $100 million,
it didn't crack it.
But the other guy to also remember, Bowling for Columbine came out in 2002?
Yeah.
So that's 5 years ago.
Oh, yeah. So Sicko did okay for only being in on 441 screens, but if they don't release it wider, it's not going to go anywhere.
I don't think... I think they're just doing a slow rollout on
slow
this one, but...
I don't know. I don't think it's going to... It'll be big on DVD.
Those 441 theaters that it's on, those are in the big cities.
Mm-hmm.
I do not think that you know, a small little town somewhere is going to have most of Michael Moore's fan. He's like John Waters once made the comment. He said the closer you get to water, the better his movies do. If you're on a coastal city or you're on a big, you know, three rivers like Pittsburgh or something like that. And I think Michael Moore's kind of the same way.
Okay. And then coming in at 10th was another new opening evening.
Tanked.
It didn't tank. It was only 977 theaters, made $3.5 million.
It was in twice as many theaters as Sicko, and it made half as much money, or less, than money.
I think it did well in the sense that it did more per screen than some of the big movies that have been out a couple weeks.
Yeah, so, the industry's reporting that kind of tanked, that it didn't, and it got trashed by Ebert, it got trashed by some people. I didn't see it.
I think we had a chance to see it, and we said it was like
I was
coinciding
eating,
with something.
I was eating hot dogs.
Oh, yeah, and I was just lazy. Okay. Anyways, looking ahead,
you were working,
speaking of the box office, looking ahead, Transformers, the theater count is kind of out at 4,000 theaters.
That's not very, actually, that's not as many as
it's
you.
It's not as many as we thought.
How many was Pirates?
It looks like it's an estimate.
Pirates 5
million? Pirates is like 4,200.
Oh, really? Well, didn't something hit 5,000?
No, theaters? Nothing's hit 5,000. Like 4,250 is
That's what it was. It was like Spider-Man was
Spider-Man
like
and then Pirates.
40 something, and then Pirates did like one extra theater exactly. That just to get the record.
So, not a big opening, but it's going to be a big movie.
Okay, keep telling yourself that, man.
So, open up Joe Blow. Transformers right on the front.
I'm like stunned on a movie website like the weekend before it opens. Yeah, that they're gonna.
Oh my.
There's that cute girl again, Joe Blow.
Yeah, seriously, we got to get those good ads.
I'm just gonna start looking for the cute girl in this. You keep talking. I'm. What was that
just
on? What page?
Surf the ads.
I'm gonna surf the ad. I want to see that cute
let's
girl.
Move on to
she's sort of that girl next door type.
Yeah. Let's move on to some DVDs. This is we really only needed to say about.
Oh wait, there's another
nothing
cute girl.
About these DVD releases wait. This week. There are absolutely no DVDs coming out on the 3rd. Like. Just
well,
nothing.
There's some.
Like, there's Degrassi, The Next Generation.
I hate Degrassi.
There's...
I never watched Degrassi as a kid. Never. I never got into it. And it's like, if you watch Kevin Smith things, he like gushes over Degrassi the way you gush over Transformers. He even got a part in Degrassi where he...
I know I have that one.
He wrote his wife out of the episode. It's not even like the Bill Clinton movies they made in the 90s where Hillary was always dead, like
right.
Independence Day and stuff like that. Uh-huh. But it was, he just wrote his wife out of the episode so he could like, and everything else was the same. So he could just, you know, mack on some junior high school girl or something like that. That's just creepy. Kevin Smith, shame on you.
I question Kevin Smith.
Okay? I question him, shame on him.
Why
couldn't it be
me? The one thing I'm excited about is Filmation's Ghostbusters, the animated series, Volume 2 from 1986. Anything Ghostbusters just gets me going. It's
used great. Ghostbusters underpants would get you
I
going?
I have used Ghostbusters underpants.
From my used Ghostbusters?
No, they're mine.
That would turn you on? My used Ghostbusters?
They're mine.
How come I can't get
Eureka
that?
Season 1. I don't even know what that is. Some anime, Ghost in the Shell, Solid State Society Limited Edition.
That's like the ongoing series, not like the original Ghost in the Shell and Ghost in the Shell, whatever you call it.
So, really not a whole lot. Nothing. I mean, I know we're looking ahead to next week. There's nothing either. The Last Mimsy with Dwight Schrute. That's all I care about is Dwight Schrute. So that's DVD. Like, we're not even going to pick of the week. It's not even worth it at this
point. It's not even worth it.
So we are going to take a break, and we're going to come back, and we're going to have our special guest, Josh Ratty from Strong Words, Inc., on the show, and we're going to talk a little bit more about Michael Moore's Sicko. We will see you on the flip side. And we're back, and you're listening to Fat Guys, the Movies, and as you heard, Josh Ratty from Strong Words, Inc., thank you very much for being on the show. Kevin, what are you doing?
I am completely, I'm distracted. I'm completely distracted.
He's like chasing down the busted cheese.
Well, we're on Joe Blow. I was on Joe Blow looking at the DVD things, and I just started clicking stuff because I didn't care. I wasn't listening to what you were saying. I'm like, when you talk, it's like bleep, 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 bleep. I just tune you out. And I've swerved into Joe Blow's Mistress of the Week, and I'm just completely enthralled.
Wow.
Yeah, but you know what? Wow. Look at those knockers. I'm telling you, man. I don't even know who these women are, but except there was one of Megan Fox who looks really, really hot. Yes. Well, here's a trashy girl.
How old is Megan Fox? Should I feel dirty?
No. She's over 18.
Okay. I just want to know if I should feel dirty about the things.
You
that
still
I
feel dirty, man.
I feel dirty.
I feel dirty
about the thoughts about Michael Bay. But
I feel dirty
like
about
close.
What I want to do with Sandra Bullock, and she's older than me. So, look at this girl. She's trashy. She's got sort of like the bicolored blonde hair and the tattoo. Whew.
Can we talk about Transformers
Sorry,
now?
Sorry, am I creeping anybody out?
All right. So,
ooh,
while Kevin
look, there's
is,
Leslie Bibb. She's a hottie.
While Kevin is continuing to search for girls, I'm going to have him regain his composure. You, our listeners, are going to listen to a very awesome trailer. This is the full trailer for Transformers.
Got a little surprise for you, son.
No, Dad! Oh, you got to be kidding me.
Yeah, I am. You're not getting a Porsche.
Let me tell you something, son. A driver don't pick the cars. Mm-mm. Cars pick the driver. It's a mystical bond between man and machine.
What is this?
We're under attack!
We're facing war against a technological civilization far superior to our own. Our enemy can take any shape. They could be anywhere.
It's a robot. You know, like a super advanced robot. It's probably Japanese.
No!
I'll drive, you shoot!
You have to get the car. Trust me.
Bring it!
I'm enraged. Joe Blow misspelled Bijou for Bijou Phillips. Oh, was that a Transformers clip? I didn't even hear it.
And if you're not excited about that Transformers clip, you check your pulse, because that is about the most exciting.
My pulse is going crazy because I'm looking at the Joe Blows
of the year. Stop with the Joe Blow. We need to talk about Transformers. So, along with Transformers, we did get a chance to sit down and have a phone chat with a few of the stars. One who you see in the movie, the other one who you hear in the movie.
Who are we going to deal with first?
Let's talk about our good friend Peter Cullen. Who
good friend, yeah, that we have beers with it every Friday night.
But Peter Cullen, who is the voice of Optimus Prime, you heard him open the show for us, was gracious enough to call over to the Secret Fat Guys line.
The Secret Fat Guys line we give at every single show.
So I don't know how he got the number, but he gave us a call. And Kevin, I'm going to let you introduce a couple of these clips. Yeah. As far as what he had to say about being Optimus Prime.
Well, and here's the thing. He was Optimus Prime from the original TV show. He's also Eeyore, actually. That's an interesting little tidbit.
Which is very awesome.
Yeah, it's awesome. I mean, my kids love him. He was telling us that originally they were going to get, like, big names, you know, to do the voices, change the voices out and everything. Mm-hmm. And but the fans didn't want to have anything of that. So let's play the first clip.
There was a tremendous reaction from the fan base. They wanted that guy Peter Cullen to do it because he did the original one, and that's what we want. And they got their way, and God bless them.
Now, the other thing is he the other concern that people had was how Optimus Prime was going to look. And he himself was a little concerned, you know, would the CGI be as good as the old-fashioned ink and paint cartoon? This is what he had to say about that.
If anybody was to be critical about Optimus Prime and the concept, it would have been me at that moment, because I feel such an attachment to it, and certainly in these later years when I realized the impact that he's had on so many lives.
Of course, finally he did get a chance to see the final animation. He got a chance to see the film before we did, damn it.
Mm-hmm.
But shame on him. How dare he get to see the film before
seriously,
we did.
Yeah, seriously, he was just in it.
He doesn't get a review.
We're the most influential
He did his work
film.
Already. Exactly. That's right. So, but then here's what he had to say about actually seeing the final product.
Having seen a lot of it, now I say, oh, this is awesome. This is Prime for the better, because Prime is still Prime. He's not going away. He's still the same Prime that he was from the original concept.
And I definitely agree with the fact that I know a lot of people complained about he had flames on him, and they didn't like that.
That's total Michael Bay.
But I tell you what, and this is kind of getting ahead of ourselves with the review, but sitting in that theater with a room full of fans...
of smelly fat guys.
Every time Optimus Prime did anything, the crowd went nuts.
When he farted, everyone thought it was awesome.
Even some of the lines that you could say are like the cheesiest lines he
Which
could
I
have.
Will say. All right, well, we'll get to that later.
Yeah, we'll get to that later, but people are nuts for Optimus Prime, and he is the star of this movie. And I think Peter Cullen, fantastic job as the voice of Optimus Prime. I mean, you can't replace him. I think we'll talk in a little while about replacing the voice of Megatron and how that worked, but you cannot there's too much there.
He's too well known.
He's
I
too
mean,
well
really
known, and he literally has the bulk of the movie on his shoulders. So
they do modulate it down. I mean, he sounds like he's got nads the size of, you know, boulders.
He is a badass if there ever was one in a movie. Thankful to Peter Cullen for, giving us a chance to talk to him. He was a great interview.
So. Yeah, he was really cool. He was
really cool guy.
Really enjoyed
talking to him.
You can tell he doesn't do a whole lot of these because normally he's not, you know, on the chopping block for junkets and stuff like that. And it was kind of a thrill, but you know, maybe.
Yeah, and that was the kind of the cool part. We specifically requested to talk to Peter Cullen because he is such an awesome, for a fanboy that's been around Transformers. He's such an awesome guy to talk to.
And he was cool enough to give us a little show intro.
Yes.
Watching, but
so,
that's okay.
No big deal.
We'll forgive
we don't
you,
fault
Peter.
Him. Yes. Kevin forgets all the time, too. So the next person we had to talk to was, we talked to John Voight.
Yes.
Who plays in the movie Secretary of Defense Keller. And he's got a pretty big role. I didn't expect him to have such a big role in the movie. But we got some clips from that interview, so what we got, Kev?
Well, the first one is just him telling about how he got the role, and because this is the second time he's done a Michael Bay movie. He played the president in Pearl Harbor.
Right.
That piece of garbage. But just digging on Michael Bay. But this is his other role, and it's a very typical John Voight role, but this is what he had to say about that.
I guess I get that part because I meant to bring some gravitas to the piece, you know? And yet the piece has there's a lot of humor in it. There's obviously a lot of adventure in it.
Yeah,
a lot of gravitas.
What is gravitas anyway?
Balls.
Balls.
That's basically what that means. That is John Voight's way of saying
I brought my
huge
balls,
so I get to play the Secretary of Defense.
That's awesome.
Which I'll agree with. He's got huge balls, man. He created Angelina Jolie. So we have another clip. What else did John Voight have to say?
I got completely distracted by another Joe Blow
picture.
Shiny
objects again.
Shiny objects. Anyways,
this
so then
show is derailed.
Here's John Voight again talking about working with Michael Bay for a second time and what Michael Bay's like on set and whether or not he's a douchebag.
He's like an athlete on a movie set. I've never seen anything quite like it. He comes in and he starts a dialogue almost with the whole set from the time he comes on. He gets his adrenaline up and gets into this kind of action painting that he does. It's quite an amazing thing, actually.
It's quite amazing because you can feel that in his movies. I mean, if there's one thing you can say about Transformers is it is an intense film to watch.
At the action scene, Jess.
Shut up.
There are certain parts that are decidedly not intense, but that's
but
okay. I don't have a problem.
So, but well, I think that's very cool. We talk about directors and them just to have that kind of energy is always well respected amongst actors.
Absolutely. Now, one of the things I did have to ask John Voight was, you know, did he get any chance to kick any robot ass?
Yes.
And he let us in on a little bit. We heard about this before we actually saw the film.
We have a battle with a little robot, myself, John Turturro, and a young lady in the film, and we have a big scene with Megatron. And the stuff that I've seen is just unbelievable. It's amazing what CGI is doing. This is really the top-of-the-line stuff.
And that's a great place to go into some reviews here, Kevin, because when you talk about this movie, you have to start with the visual effects, because that is the overwhelming, just huge, huge piece of this film is how cool these
It's the reason to see it. I mean, really, that's what it is.
The reason to see it on the big screen. And, you know, the first thing I can say is go see this movie. Whether you have interest or not, go see it. You won't be disappointed. Now, what level you enjoy it on is going to be, you know, up to your own taste.
Are we doing the reviews now?
Yeah, this is my review.
Okay.
Because you're still not paying attention.
I'm telling you, some of these pictures.
This is what Kevin says.
God bless Joe Blow. That's all I have to say.
We'll send him an email. But here's the only way I can really equate Transformers. The last time I had a movie experience like this that was so just powerful in terms of me just suspending disbelief and being amazed with what films can do was when I was 10 years old and I saw Jurassic Park in the theater. I think that is the same experience that I had the other day when we saw Transformers, because you are in complete awe. Literally 10 minutes into the movie, people were standing and cheering, and it was only one scene.
Were they standing? They weren't standing.
There were people standing. From where I was sitting, you could see people standing up. Like, there were people
that
actually got up.
What scene was it? The opening? After the desert scene. The opening action scene?
It was amazing. And I literally, people were you know, laughing and kind of cheering, too, when the title sequence. I know we talked about this earlier. When they're rolling through the title sequence and it says, you know, Paramount Pictures presents in association with Hasbro.
Hasbro.
You could tell the fanboys were just like, yes. I thought every ounce of this movie just felt so cool. And for me, you could pick apart all kinds of stuff. There's cheesy dialogue. There's Shia LaBeouf, who was very good, I thought, in the movie.
He wasn't given a lot to work with.
Yeah, the story is not this really deep, intricate, amazing story. But then again, if you've seen Armageddon or if you've seen Bad Boys, you know the story.
Armageddon was a better story. I'll say that.
Well, Armageddon had that whole love story thing.
It wasn't a love story. I'm just saying that there was a little bit more coherency to the story.
But I think ultimately, no matter what, it works. The scenes in between all the action, which is really, you're going for the action. We get that. The scenes in between the action, you don't lose interest. They're still kind of funny and kind of quirky.
Well, okay, here's
it. And cheesy.
Are you done?
Ahead. Yes.
Are you done? Okay, now I can say. You're right. You don't see this movie for its plot. You don't see it for its characters. You don't see it for its dialogue. You see this movie so you can see robots blowing shit up. That is the reason you see this movie. And I said a long time ago that the worth of this movie is going to be how much they don't rely on the plot. And I'll tell you, when robots aren't blowing shit up, it does get a little goofy. And it gets a little... And even when there's robots, but they're not blowing shit up.
Right. But I don't think you become disengaged in it, though.
Absolutely, I think you do. There's a scene where they're back looking for something in Shia LaBeouf's bedroom, and it just goes on way too long. I mean, I was okay with it. You know, it's like I think you had a great analogy with Jurassic Park. Now, I was like in college when that came out, or I just graduated from college, and I was in college. It was my senior year. Yeah, I know, I'm older. But you're right, that movie did have the same sort of feel, but you watch Jurassic Park, and I saw somebody once criticize Laura Dern's performance in Jurassic Park, because he says, when they first see the dinosaurs, he said, you know, it looked like she was just given direction to say, look like you've seen a dinosaur for the first time of your life. And she's like, ah, you know,
right.
And it is goofy, and it doesn't make a whole lot of sense, and they have continuity problems all over the movie. And yes, it is suspension of disbelief. And I think Jurassic Park is one of the best movies, you know, it's going to live forever, not just because of its great action and direction, but also because of how it changed cinema and used computer graphics. But on the same thing, there were some serious issues with dialogue and goofiness. They could have trimmed a lot out. The movie's like 2 hours and what, 20-some minutes?
2 hours and, yeah, it's long.
There's a lot of stuff they could have touched. I look at, and you're, I know you're going to jump all over this, but I look at Transformers and Spider-Man 3 and Fantastic Four all the same way. These are not great stories. They're not great plots. They're not great characters. Some really, really bad dialogue and awful deliveries. I mean, Megan Fox, hot beyond belief. Not really good at delivery dialogue. But I give them all the same grade. I think they're all about the same level. I mean, they're good, good summer movies. Go see it in the theaters. You don't want to miss it in the theaters.
Well, the only thing I'm going to say about Spider-Man is that in Transformers, there were no moments in the movie where I was taken out of the movie.
You mean like when Bumblebee urinates on somebody?
I still thought that was great.
Or the whole little scene in the bedroom. That whole, you can't tell me that
there was
Optimus
no point
Prime,
where I stopped paying attention to the movie.
Tiptoeing around a flower bed, hiding behind a window.
I loved it. That, you was know what I was
That was the jazz like, club. That was the jazz club in Spider-Man. All over again.
The jazz club scene was the worst
freaking
scene in a movie I've ever seen
so,
in my life. It was
I was so irritated with that whole scene. It just went on too long with his parents and them talking and all that kind of stuff. Goofy.
I still thought it was funny enough. That scene, you can't the whole emo scene in Spider-Man was just, it. Literally, I started looking around and going, why am I here? There was no point in Transformers where I did that.
I did. Actually, I have
was
to.
So engrossed in the movie.
I have to admit, I did that in the whole little the bedroom scene because it was just. But see, that's the thing. You're a hypocrite because you said one's one and one's not. I'm like they're the same. They're both.
Well, the other part
goofy
is,
scenes.
At least that goofy scene fit with the rest of the movie. Like the whole movie had that really cheesy dialogue, and there were some really goofy parts to it. That Spider-Man thing, that didn't fit in any of the three movies. It had to, that Spider-Man 3 had to live up to those first two movies. It wasn't even close. There was no other scene in any of those other Spider-Man movies that you could compare that stupid emo scene to.
No,
it was so out of left field.
I think it was weird and it's out of left field. Like, him walking down the street, I thought was funny. A very typical Sam Raimi. But the jazz club scene was
just
could have been
not even
taken
close.
Out.
At
but
least
I
this
think,
works.
I think that there are parts. You know what it reminds me of? Do you know the history behind the Bad Boy script? Do you understand? Do you know that?
I've heard it.
It was written for Dana Carvey and John Lovitz. Mm-hmm. And they had $20,000 in the budget for rewrites, which in Hollywood terms is like nothing. I mean, that's like your cappuccino budget.
Right.
And so Michael Bay sat down, since he cast very similar actors to Dana Carvey and John Lovitz, he cast, you know,
Will Smith and Martin Lawrence.
So he needed to change the story from two not very attractive dopey white men to these two hip black guys and add all the street language and urban lingo and all that kind of thing. So he and Martin Lawrence and Will Smith all sat down and rewrote the dialogue.
Right.
And that's why the dialogue's so crappy, because it's written by people who aren't really writers. They're just sort of like retooling the dialogue to, it's not the best written movie. And
it was still a great movie.
Arguably, none of Michael Bay's movies are very well written at all.
They don't have to be.
You know, and
he blows shit up.
But see, that's the thing. He has too much. It really felt like they were like, oh, let's just add some things here. Let's add some things here. This will be funny. We'll just make some jokes here. And I thought like the whole scenes, while I loved looking at Megan Fox opening the hood of the car, and you got to see all her, you know, you got to see her hip swells and all
she
that stuff.
Cheesy and
it was crappy,
was
crappy
top,
dialogue. Crappy
you
dialogue.
You come to expect that. You've seen.
I laughed more at the dialogue in this movie than I've ever laughed in a movie.
but that's the thing. I think you can expect that from a Michael Bay movie. And I think we can agree on this, that all of his movies have fallen. They're the same. You know, you get a great score, great action, bad dialogue, you know, suspect plot at best.
Yeah.
But it's an enjoyable film.
I'm not saying it's bad.
Walk away. I think that's what we can agree on is this movie rocks.
It rocks. It's definitely go see it. But I do think, you know, it's. I think I would have rather had an hour 45-minute movie where it was just robots blowing shit up for like an hour 45 minutes, mm-hmm. or an hour and 30 minutes, and then 15 minutes of plot scattered here and there. Then they spend too much time without the robots in parts. That's my big thing. And I just don't think that it just...
I don't. I got through it just fine. And I think some of the cheesy humor, like the bumblebee peeing, I think the kids will go.
Oh, the kids will go.
It's like the poop jokes in Surf's Up.
Well, and it's like, love it, well, so. It's like there's one line in there where John Voight says this, and I literally laughed so loud. You probably heard me laugh.
Heard you.
I it was just the most ludicrous line.
It was
line.
Like a serious moment, too.
And yeah, it was like delivered bad. Totally serious. I remember
the scene.
I was with a buddy of mine. I said to him, I go, I never thought I'd ever hear that line uttered on screen.
Yep. Oh, no. Yeah.
It was like, can you not believe that the president doesn't know there's a giant frozen robot underneath the sand?
Yeah.
I'm like, what?
Underneath the Hoover Dam.
Yeah. If we
have to agree on something, it is the fact that you should absolutely go see Transformers.
Go see it, enjoy it, and I'm gonna take my kids. I'm probably gonna take my kids and see it in the big screen again.
Yep, I'll probably see it 2-3 more times. I've already got plans to see it twice this week. Yeah. So very nice. So we're gonna move along, and
do we want to do some predictions on how well it's gonna do?
Yeah, let's
before
do a
the
prediction.
Weekend over the 4th of July thing.
So it's in 4,000 theaters.
Yeah.
God, it's going to have a huge weekend, dude.
Look at Nicole.
It'll go over. If it doesn't go over $100 million this weekend.
Wait. What's your prediction? I mean, are you talking from like Monday night through?
From Monday night through Sunday, it should go over $150 million.
I'm thinking, this is
huge.
My prediction.
There are so many people waiting for this movie.
This is my prediction. It's going to make, in its first 4 days, probably about 50 to 70 million. From over the 4th of July
Friday.
Thing to okay. Friday. And then Friday to the end, it'll be about 100 million. I think it's going to top out at about 100 and between 150 and 170 mm-hmm. million. Now, of course, that means because it'll be out for, you know, seven. It's like the biggest 7 day opening. Yep.
I think by the time Harry Potter comes out, it'll be at 200 million. Which gives it 2 weeks.
Yeah,
basically.
Yeah, but I think it's gonna fall fast. I don't think it's gonna have replay power.
Oh, I do.
I don't think so.
The
thing is, there's way too much stuff out there to see.
No
also,
way. I don't care about anything else out there right now.
Kind of like how Grindhouse was gonna make 100 million.
I will be right on this one.
And then how Grindhouse was then gonna
you
make
were,
more.
You're gonna so, competitively eat those words.
No, I do you think it's gonna make more than? What do you think is gonna top out?
I think it will be the biggest. Biggest movie of the summer.
You think it's going to like be 350?
I think it will top 350. I think it'll be the closest one to 400, if not over 400.
I don't think it's going to go that far.
For the
there's
summer.
Way
so I think
too much.
Run, it's going to run hard the rest of the summer. There's nothing besides Harry Potter, which is completely unrelated. No, it's the completely different demographic. It's a big. That is such a cult movie.
Cults don't make a super blockbuster, man.
No.
You're going to get people are going to see the movie for the explosions and stuff.
No. I'm talking about
on.
Harry Potter being a cult movie.
Well, so's Transformers.
I don't think so.
Yeah,
I think
absolutely.
Transformers is a movie that everyone can go see.
I know you're right, enjoy. But the people are going to see it 2, 3, 4, 5 a dozen times. That's a very small sect. Very small, and there's just waste. There's so much out there right now.
Mark my words, right now, at the end of August, Transformers will still be on top.
No.
Yes.
Oh, what? Like the top what?
The top of the year.
Oh,
the number one film of the year.
Highest
grossing film.
I don't know.
Day.
I don't think so.
We'll come back to that. Obviously, we've got a couple months to wait. So, but we're going to go to a break.
Sorry, I'm looking at Nicole Eckert.
And we will come back, and we're going to wrap you up and give you a little preview of what's coming up on the weekend show this week and maybe some other shenanigans. We're going to wrap you up here on Fat Guys the Movies, our bonus internet exclusive show. Pretty much going this one alone because Kevin has found
Joe Blow.
JoeBlow.com.
Where'd it go?
This episode unofficially sponsored by JoeBlow.com and all the fine folks over there that have
my sexy babes
pretty much stolen my co-host for the entire second half of the show.
These are some good look. Oh, Sophia Bush. She's wearing way too much clothes.
I'm turning your microphone off. So if you want to get in touch with us, just remember, hit us up on iTunes Store. Just search Fat Guys of the Movies. We pop right up. Give us a phone call, 614-388-8735. Or give us a little email, fatguys@filmschoolrejects.com. Couple quick reminders. We're having a couple of cool contests. I know 7mpictures.com is going to be giving away some posters for License
for
to Wed.
License to Wed, the biggest movie of this week.
The poster that looks like a vagina.
No, it's not a vagina. The uterus and the
reproductive system.
Yes.
So if you would like to see Robin Williams, John Krasinski, and Mandy Moore in the shape of a female reproductive system, head over to 7mpictures.com and sign up for that. An even bigger poster contest over at filmschoolrejects.com. Optimus Prime, Transformers, the fine folks at Paramount have worked with us to get 10 Transformers posters. The very cool, and I found this out in the process of trying to get these posters. These posters are the ones that they're not going to print and sell.
Really?
Because it's the 13th version of the poster. It's like one of those last ones they just kind of came out with. But it seems to be on the internet the most popular poster. It's the one of, well, just go to filmschoolrejects.com and take a look at it. It's
a picture of Bumblebee urinating on John Turturro, isn't
definitely
it?
Definitely not, but I'd put that on my wall.
I know you would, because you're a whore for Transformers, man.
I'm a whore for any good movie poster. So join us on our weekend show, our clean version, and we're going to talk a lot more about Transformers. We can't stop talking about this movie. We're going to hopefully be able to review License to Wed if we ever get a screening where the print shows up. And we're going to have some other randomness. We're going to do a top 10 list that is yet to be determined. And I assure you, we will fill an entire show.
That's right.
So,
and a big shout out to Joe Blow for these
big shout
awesome
out to
pictures.
JoeBlow.com. Also, big shout out to the guys over at Strong Words Inc. Keep an eye on them. They're going to be big someday. Just like the fat guys in the movies.
It'd help if they ate more. Then they could just be physically big.
We will see you next time.
Adios.